is Cascadia Public Radio.
This is not a test. This is reality.
For ZeroPointRadio.com, I'm Clyde Lewis. With the events unfolding in the world right now, it is becoming alarming as to the accuracies of the discussions at the Ground Zero Lounge. If you listen to any of the most recent Ground Zero Lounge shows replayed on this radio station, you will see that everything spoken of at these events is taking place now. If you want accurate information about what is in store for your future, I ask you to remain listening to ZeroPointRadio.com and ask your friends and neighbors to spread the word. We are proud of our programming and want you to rely on it for its compelling and accurate portrayal of what plans are in store for the country. Many of these Ground Zero shows were recorded much earlier in the year. Many of them have been recorded 6 years ago. What Ground Zero talked about in the past is now in your present. And what we are giving you now is not a test. It is the future.
Here tonight. Oh boy, what a night it is too. I tell you what, I just a lot of headlines hitting the internet as we're walking in, and they're not even in the paper yet. So I'm going to give you a little bit of an indication of what's going on. First of all, like last week, I had said during the Ground Zero Lounge that iatrogenic artifact is going to be the cause of Michael Jackson's death. They're now going to probably rule manslaughter 2 on the doctor, and there's going to be several other doctors are going to be called in, probably pointing out this was an iatrogenic mistake, that he was basically injected with all these drugs, and it was done by accident. So that's what we predicted last week. This week it's happening. One other thing that I want to make you aware of, the World Health Organization and the Centers for Disease Control just issued a statement. They issued it no more than an hour ago. They are predicting 90,000 deaths in the United States alone with the first break of the swine flu. They are also saying that swine flu is also starting now, and they want the vaccines to be ready to go by mid-September. Yeah, somebody's coughing. That's good. But anyway, they're saying mid-September it's going to happen, and so we said that they would make it mandatory in Massachusetts right now. They are going to make it mandatory, and if you don't get the injection, you could pay a $1,000 fine. So, I don't know how much the shot is. I really don't. I know, it's probably going to cost you about 90 some odd dollars for the shot, that's for sure. Go ahead.
So does that mean we can pay $1,000 and not have to have the shot?
Probably so, yes.
I bet a lot of people will.
I bet they will too. I bet if I had the money, yeah, I wouldn't pay for the shot either. Go ahead, Bob.
Actually, the fine is $1,000 a day. So, and 30 days in jail.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know about that. Thank you, Bob, for that information. Go ahead.
Actually, if you're allergic to egg products, you're exempt. And at a certain age, you're exempt.
Really? Okay, so egg products?
Swine flu's been around. This is the second or third time.
Right, okay. Thank you so much for that. So we're getting more and more information as it comes in. A couple things about the Ground Zero Lounge. I want to set the ground rules here first. First of all, this show is a crowd participation show. This is freedom of speech. You can say what you want. I would like you to, if you can, to please contribute to the show. If you have something you want to bring up out of the blue, you want to say something, and we can talk about it a little bit if you'd like, but we want to make sure we stick to the topic as best as we can. Another thing, too, is that we don't take well to hecklers. If you want to say something, don't say it from the crowd. You say it from the microphone. If you continue to heckle me, I will ask an usher to get you out of the club. And the usher's back there, and he will muscle you out of here. Okay? And we will use them as well. So, and it's been done before, and we'll do it again. So make sure that if you're going to heckle the show, you're going to be talking on the microphone, because that's what it is. We are a broadcast show. We are live right now, and that's what we're doing right now. So thank you so much for that. Okay. All right. A few people are leaving because they're heckling, and they didn't want to stay. Well, so, good for you. See ya. Have a good day. Okay? Good. All right. There's plenty of us here. We don't need you. Okay. Breaking my heart. Fucking A. Okay. Jesus, I am crying over here. Okay. Tonight's show is called Awaiting Obamageddon. The words Awaiting Obamageddon come from a guy by the name of Gerald Celente. And Gerald Celente is a trend guy who basically sees trends. And he's been on CNN, MSNBC, Fox. He's been all the news channels. And basically he's been saying a lot of doom and gloom about the United States. A lot of people are saying that he's full of it, yet his track record has been completely on. The guy has not been off with all of his predictions. He's been completely on. And if you have a chance, get online. And I would like for you to please search and seek out Gerald Celente and hear what he has to say about the future of this country. And what you're going to hear from him is you're going to hear that he's pretty well bent out of shape, because he says the news media has decided to cover up the idea of what is happening and has basically called everyone who's trying to get the word out conspiracy theorists, cracks, and crackpots. And the sad thing is that, yes, it's true. We're all crazy because we're trying to tell everyone what's going on and get the word out. I'm broadcasting here from Dante's. I'm also doing a live show every Friday night, and I'm making sure that all my listeners are hearing the words and getting them out there. Also, James Evan Pilato's in the audience. I give him a hand for MediaMonarchy.com. He does a two-hour program of headlines on ZeroPointRadio.com. You should check it out. They run it like every 3 or 4 hours on the network so you can hear what's going on. And he also does it live Fridays at 10 a.m. So if you want to check that out, that's available too. So we're trying to get the word out. If you're not informed, you're not paying attention, especially when all this stuff is available to you. So I thank you for being here tonight. Let's get on with the program Awaiting Obamageddon. Ground Zero shows are in the prediction business. We've always been in the prediction business for the longest time. I was once called the weatherman for that reason. I wanted to be a meteorologist when I was a kid. So what I did is I always predicted the weather. And when I got older, I got tired of wanting to be a meteorologist because I felt the meteorologist didn't get any respect. So I became a disc jockey. Okay? Now there's a lot of respect there, right? I mean, one thing about being a disc jockey is A, you never go hungry, and B, you always get laid. And the reason why is you've got 2-for-1 cards at the races. That's how you always get laid. Hey, I got 2-for-1 at the races, baby. Or you get front row seats at some concert. But what I'm trying to tell you is that I moved along and realized that I still had some sort of a knack for predicting the future and seeing trends as well. I took data and news, and I was able to have some sort of a Rolodex in the back of my head where I'm thinking of certain stories that have happened, and they pop into my head, and I find a way to find an angle that's what I call the ground zero angle, or the angle that's at the bottom floor, where you can work your way forward and see to the future. Now, a lot of people say that what I do is predictive programming, and it can be to a certain degree, because I do talk about things before they happen, or I try to get you news stories before they happen. I try to get ideas out for discussion. We plant seeds here, and maybe from where we are, where we stand, when the ideas we come up with become reality, we have to pause and pay attention. Because that way we can say to ourselves, well, maybe we're on the right track. And using a bit of complexity theory, we can say that we are the butterfly that flaps its wings, and we make an impact from where we sit to the headlines days later. We talk about the issues, we talk about collective consciousness, and reveal the worries and concerns of the public before the mainstream filters out that and basically sanitizes it for public consumption. What you're getting is you're getting the raw feed. This is what we're giving you, is the raw story. It hasn't got all of the nice little complexities all ironed out, all the stuff maybe a little flawed in some respects, but we're generally getting into that direction where we're pointing out to you what is really happening in the world, and we want you to pay attention to this. There's information the political world wants you to believe, and the media then takes that world and through hyper-reality reinforces the opinions of the political world. There used to be a time where the media questioned and challenged the political view. They made people aware of what was really happening. Now, they make gods out of politicians. They want to build them up. It's like what radio does for rock and roll, the news does for politics. And they do it flawlessly. You're not even realizing you're being duped into believing that these guys are without any kind of shame or without any kind of responsibility. They're able to wink, nod, nudge, and smile and laugh their way through all this. In the meantime, we're hurting through all of it. The media has become the mouthpiece for the powerful and not for the powerless. Political action in the form of new social movements, protesting, international meetings, socialized health care, and overtaxation has been in the media now and has been the media's attention. Research suggests the media marginalizes and delegitimizes protest activity. The media will take the side of the powerful, malign the protesters with reports of violence. The violence usually is created by agents provocateurs or sleeper agents that are paid sums of money by the FBI, CIA, and NSA to create an air of criminality in order to give probable cause for mass arrests and harassment to the public, such as calling people who want to question conspiracy theorists, or people who want to question hacks or communists, or whatever designation they want to give you this week. Anti-Semites, you know, anti-black, that sort of thing. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, just recently there was an East Coast radio personality named Hal Turner who was arrested for basically inciting illegal acts against government officials,
exactly.
Telling judges to hang, etc. Turns out this guy was an FBI hired provocateur.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
That came out after he was arrested.
Exactly. And it's something known as give him a hand for that. That's true. The Internet, as I said, and we had James and we had Michael Goodspeed here to talk about this long before this became a news item. We were talking about the idea that the Internet now is being used, the independent media is being used now as a provoker. They're using things like anti-Semitic rants and bigotry as a means to draw you in, saying, we have the truth, here's our truth, and then immediately they'll turn around and they'll switch it on you and they'll say, but yeah, it's the Jews, it's the Zionists, it's this, it's this, it's this, it's this. And what's really interesting is that I've been noticing some changes in the independent media since we've had that show. This is a picture of Alex Jones. And I have not done anything to this picture. Alex Jones dressed up as the Joker and did a whole show as the Joker, just to promote the Joker posters. Now, we mentioned the Joker posters at that Ground Zero Lounge some 2-3 weeks ago and said, this is going to lead to something bigger. And it is leading to something bigger. In fact, and I'm going to talk about this in a little bit, this is the thing that will not go away. This meme is not leaving us, and it won't. Now, I talked about this back when The Dark Knight first came out. I said, the meme of the dead Joker will never go away. In fact, it's going to keep on multiplying, and it's keep on getting worse and worse. And now we have our president wearing the mask. And now we have people like Alex Jones wearing the mask. We see this coming, and it's almost like it writes itself. It really does. It's like it writes itself. COINTELPRO is where basically the FBI uses spies to go in and try and infiltrate a group or someone with a philosophy, and then they try to come up with these outrageous philosophies to get people to do outrageous things so they can eventually be arrested. That's what COINTELPRO does. And as Bob pointed out, we recently had the story of Hal Turner. Hal Turner was a talk show host, blogger, alleged anti anti-Semite, white supremacist, basically was arrested because he called for the killing or shooting of Connecticut lawmakers and judges. And what happened, they came to his door, and his lawyer said, well, hey, he's supposed to do this. Why? Because he's an FBI agent provocateur, and he did this online. Sure, they're the ones that are going to get online and say, take up arms against your country. And then when people do it, they get a whole mailing list sent to the FBI from these people. Now, I warned everybody about how the Internet is being used in this way weeks ago. When I had Michael Goodspeed on this program and James Evan Pilato of Media Monarchy on this program talking about it right here at the Ground Zero Lounge. And now it's happening. It's happening now. We set the bar for news stories, I guess. Or we're the butterfly that flaps its wings. But we may basically get that story out to say, be aware of it. We're going to point out to you why this is going to happen. Go ahead.
Yeah, just one other note about that story. This gentleman apparently met with his handlers on a regular basis and was coached on exactly how far he could go without actually breaking the law.
Right.
So apparently even his handlers don't know where the line is anymore.
Or somebody, some agency right. wasn't telling the other
exactly.
agency. That happens all the time. Happens all the time. So he says, well, I worked for the NSA. Well, I worked for the CIA. Well, we're FBI. Well, we don't know what hand is doing what. And that's exactly how it is in government. Homeland Security has now determined that new terrorism will not come from the Middle East, but from homegrown extremists. They have underlined in their new watchdog agenda groups like fundamentalist Christians, white supremacists, conspiratorialists, paramilitary groups, and all forms of extremism. The media has gone out of their way to compare groups like the 9/11 Truth Movement, the Obama Birth Movement, global warming skeptics, and Tea Party Movement people to Holocaust deniers, white supremacists, and anti-Semitic groups. And the reason why they go out of their way to do this is because a lot of the talk show hosts that decide to promote this type of material want to lure you in with anti-Semitic crap and racist crap. And they do it because people, they love to hate. But, you know, getting the sad thing about this is groups like this are ruining for those honest journalists that really want to get the word out. And so that's what my struggle is I am struggling against these other people who are making far more money, much money, basically hating people and getting money thrown at them. And it's because people love to pay to hear someone spew hatred. And they always have. With truth pretty much compromised, it is important to use caution with information coming from your government. It is important to understand that the controllers of information are trying to create false leads and are attempting to create turmoil within the United States. Evidence of this is showing up in town hall meetings where people are agitated and are becoming hostile. Police brutality is also becoming evident. Militia groups are reforming all over the country. If any of you caught my Ground Zero show that I did live on Friday nights on ZeroPointRadio.com, I'm now broadcasting from my home on Friday nights live. And if you caught that, I played a new Devo song. It's called Don't Shoot, I'm a Man. The song is about the police state. And basically how he goes to work every day and he has to look on the roof to see if he's going to be shot at. And if he has to not deal with the snipers on the roof, he has to deal with the snipers in the police department. There's actually a chorus that says, don't tase me, bro. If you tase me, I may not have followed the rules correctly. And that's exactly what the sign of the times is giving us. The music is now changing. Things are changing. People are noticing. Organized urban warfare drills are happening everywhere. I listen to James' show all the time. He's telling me about the next drill that's going to be happening. They're all staged across the United States. Soldiers are being dispatched to American cities to do mock arrests, detainment exercises, resettlement drills, bomb and bioweapon drills, and drills dealing with pandemic riots in the spirit of preparedness. The question is, what are they preparing for? Last year, a year ago, around this time, we had black helicopters all over Portland, Oregon, flying over doing drills. Why? They told us it was because they were preparing for terrorism. They were preparing to do urban warfare in big cities in the Middle East. Bullshit. They were preparing to do warfare here in Portland, Oregon. That's why they were flying overhead. That's why they were doing it in several other cities and in several other towns. You can't tell me that these drills are normal. There were no major drills in cities during World War II, Korea, or Vietnam. There was just about as much chance for terrorism in the homeland when there is now. The truth is that the drills are for us. They are soldiers that are a part of these drills that aren't native to the cities that they're in. They're not native to the cities. They have to learn the area in order to move in, if need be, because a national crisis or uprising is going to take place. America has not reached its breaking point yet, but we are about to. Look around you and notice that the military buildup is happening and the ads for television shows that glorify military-industrial complex and police states. Notice that you see a lot of drunk driving PSAs and a lot of, you know, report your neighbor PSAs. It's all part of the Stasi police. It's all part of you tattling on your neighbor. It's all part of you being deputized and you're doing your part for the great U.S. of A. No, it's their way of coercing you into being a part of the police state without you really knowing about it. You're feeling you're doing your duty, but in reality, you're part of the enforcement surveillance state. Go ahead.
I finally heard some of the nanny state reporting your neighbor stuff recently. One of my coworkers actually had a fire pit in her backyard, and during the month of July, apparently there was some sort of notification for the city of Portland that there was not supposed to be any fires happening at all. And
right.
Yet, they got the fire department in front of their house telling them and issuing them a fine,
right.
Which I didn't know firefighters were allowed to issue fines.
Well, now they can.
Now they can.
I mean, they're putting them in a position, like I was talking about last week. They're deputizing them also to go in and give injections to people for the vaccines.
But they got this fine because their next door neighbors called up the fire department on them.
Yep, it's happening. I'm sorry to hear that. Give him a hand for that. I'm very sorry that that's happening, but it is. This is the surveillance state that happened in Buenos Aires when I was there doing the dirty work. Go ahead, Bob.
I was just going to say that, you know, I remember back when Bush was in power, and you would warn the left wing about getting too violent or allowing the police, you know, to allow the police state to exert itself upon them by getting too violent. And I don't think the left wing was ever even really close to that. The trouble is that the right wingers are.
Sure.
These right wingers are definitely ready to provoke the police state.
And the left wing is more than happy to shoot back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, the dynamics are much more different now and much more dangerous.
Exactly. Well, remember we were talking about when I guess when Gore and when the Gore Bush thing happened, and they went out and they bought all these bullets because they were worried that, you know, go ahead.
The very first time I heard the term community policing, it gave me the creeps, and I feel creepier about it every passing day.
Oh, well, you should. You should. I lived in it when I lived in Buenos Aires, and it's not too fun. I remember when I was a kid, one of the things that, I'll get to you in a minute, Sarah. One of the things I remember when I was a kid, how many people are, let's see, I'm looking over the audience, not very many people. Bob, you and I probably remember, and Box, you and I probably remember. Remember when we used to watch television and they used to always talk about the Red Square thing on May Day? And we'd always see the rockets being paraded down the streets in Moscow, and they show all these goose-stepping soldiers, and I used to think when I was a kid that that's all they wore in Russia, was military garb, and that's all they did, is just sat around watching rockets go by and military vehicles go by. Well, you know, it's beginning to be the same thing here in America. You know, watch the soldiers, look at the police officers, boy, oh boy, firemen, hero, hero, hero. And, you know, I'm beginning to think that we're turning into a military state. Eisenhower said back in the 50s, beware the military-industrial complex and don't let it get any bigger. People did not listen. People didn't listen, and it continues to grow. You see, it appeared that every citizen in Russia wore a uniform. Every citizen was behind the military. It was almost like Nazis were the same way. Every World War II movie I ever saw was always in the hot brow with some hot Fraulein, and everybody was wearing a Nazi uniform or wearing an American uniform. Yes, I watched Hogan's Heroes when I was a kid. I tell you, that's what I thought it was like back in the 40s and back in the 50s. And now it's becoming the same way here. Now it's like, oh, you're in the military? Oh, let me just step a little lightly around you. Okay? Why don't I? Why? Or, oh, you're a police officer. Oh, and you shot some guy that was entering my apartment? You're a hero. No, actually, I'm doing my job. No shit. You see, we have made these guys bigger than they really are. We've made the military bigger than it should be. And I'm not saying this with any kind of looking down on the military. I thank the military for protecting me. I thank police officers for protecting me. But I certainly don't want that to be the ruling elite in my life. I mean, soldiers do what they do because they feel they need to do it. It is us that give them the ticker tape parades and everything for just walking into a place. You know, just because you go and you are in a military service doesn't necessarily mean that you're a hero. It just means that you're in military service. Sometimes there are heroes that fight and do things, and they basically are in the right place at the wrong time, right time to be heroes. But I just think that putting that across the board with everybody involved with police or military is making us look like a military state. You can dismiss it all you like about the police state, military-based government, war economy. This is what Salente had talked about when he talked about Obamageddon. Surveillance state, police state, fully armed military, military on the streets of the United States, total strikes, all these things you see in a third world country, all happening here in the United States, all becoming a part of your life within the next 3 years. Okay? This is why the military is conducting the drills. How do you implement an enforcement and surveillance team when they do not know where they are or who their targets are? Operations such as these take months to plan, and we have seen those months go by, and each time we have been told that they are false flag drills and that they may trigger the next major event. The training exercises have been happening to get soldiers acquainted with targets. Targets include homes that they can seize, cars they can confiscate, guns they can collect, and rights they can usurp. If they have to shoot you, then they will, if it means keeping the peace and demanding compliance for the new laws and the new provisions that are implemented. That is why these drills are happening. It takes months, and one of these drills is going to be the real thing. Our taxes pay for these private mercenaries. Your money goes to provide the bullets and armor they use or will eventually use against those who rebel. We have paid operatives to be the most organized killing machine in history. Our taxes have paid out money to a government that has killed thousands and continues to kill thousands. And we give them a blank check to tap our phones, monitor our internet, and make laws to curtail civil rights. We are doing that now. That's what Obamageddon is, okay? It's just a carryover from the Bush administration, but it has Obama's name all over it, and it continues. Obamageddon is what they're calling it. Of course, the argument is that, well, there are evil people in the world, Clyde, and they need to die. There are criminals that need to be arrested. Yeah, it's all true. I know that. However, we have more people in jail now than any other country in the world. We torture and jail those who might even contemplate about resistance. That philosophy seems to work in a Red Queen sort of way. If we chop off enough heads, maybe we'll find a couple guilty people. That's always been the policy since the Bush administration. If we chop off enough heads, maybe we'll find somebody that's guilty. But by then, they won't be able to talk because they have no head. And that's how we do things. The rules of conduct have changed so much that we no longer care who the enemy is. Someone has to pay. Someone has to be punished. We don't need the courts. All we need is a good TV network or newspaper columnist to make outrageous accusations and then to point fingers and protect powerful interests and dismiss powerless and poor people and basically taking away their rights and maligning them and marginalizing them because they question the official story. That's what we're doing now. There is information that the political world wants you to believe. The media then takes it. They put it through that hyper-reality sifter, and they reinforce everything and force their political views on you. They're in the business of creating public trust and living up to the standard of public's right to know. However, they have forfeited that. Today, the media world has become soft and partisan. It has become malleable, and unfortunately, it is highly controlled. It only responds to disaster and then hires two political pundits to analyze what that disaster is. Give us the Democrat view of what just happened. Give us the Republican view of just what happened. Oh, okay, so we're pretty much confused. And that's how it goes every single day on a national network. Go ahead.
It's a good thing you brought that up, because then they also say, oh, those are the only two valid points of view, so which one do you agree with? And then you say something like, I don't agree with either of them. And they're like, well, you have to agree with one or the other. Which one do you agree with? Like, and so then a lot
it's
of
confusion.
Times, yeah, and yeah. A lot of times they'll say something like, well, person A said something that I sort of agreed with, and then they jump to it and say, okay, then you support that side of it. Then you also support this.
And what it does is it demonstrates reaction. Yeah. And what you're doing is you're seeing reaction. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, it's like Colbert asking his guest, George Bush, great or greatest?
Go ahead. Well, I have a tendency to view it as basically a forced psychological acceptance of duality.
Oh, sure.
That's if you only see things in terms of black and white, then that's okay.
You're either black or white, you can't be gray.
Yeah, if you don't, then, well, go hang out with Osama.
Yeah, we don't want you to play with us. Go ahead.
Actually, political science in America is taught the same way. A lot of even the professors now don't see it as any way but right wing and left wing. They can't look at any combinations thereof. They can't look at any alternative ways to look at it.
Right.
And we're all ruled by this duality.
That's right, we are. And it's sad that that's the way it is. Go ahead.
Well, this democracy wasn't founded on a two-party political system, so it seems to me that if it's become that way, that means the system's flawed.
Well, yeah, they've narrowed it down to choice one or choice two, but you don't choose, you just respond. That's what a debate's for.
That's why I say in this country that if in our Senate, if we somehow got less than 50 Democrat, less than 50 Republican, and maybe five or six independents, of each independent being Reform, Libertarian, Green Party, whatever, then you might have something close to what a democracy might be.
Well, it's like all the Democrats that started the birther movement. The news can't have that, so what they do is they turn around and say, oh, this is a right-wing conspiracy. And, of course, then Barack Obama says, we don't want any conspiracy theorists, anyone talking conspiracy. And then he turns around and says, oh, this thing against my health care plan, it's a conspiracy. I mean, this is just completely insane. Go ahead.
If memory serves, wasn't it Bush Sr. and Clinton before their face-off that they basically made it illegal they made a deal with the major news networks to make sure that there was no third-party debate?
That's right. That's right. They didn't want a third party to talk. Go ahead.
You know, there are many ways of encouraging this sort of thing. I just remembered a political survey that I took once on the telephone. By the time we got about three-fourths of the way through it, he was asking me questions that only had Democrat and Republican answers. And I kept trying to tell him, I'm really not a Democrat or a Republican. He says, but if you had to choose between them, if you absolutely had to choose between them, which one would you choose? And I go, I wouldn't. Yeah, but if someone said you really had to.
That's programming.
And, you see, and now, I know how hard it is to do those surveys because I've done them as a temp. And you have to meet quotas and all that stuff. So I gave him an answer just because I didn't want him to have come that way that far through the survey. But I feel bad that I helped the paradigm.
A lot of people, and that's true, a lot of people, though, form their opinions on a quick glance at a newspaper, a quick glance at a magazine, or a quick glance or a quick listen to a soundbite. They don't have time to sit down and analyze what they're hearing. So they just get a little bit of it, and then what happens is that, you know, anyone else who says anything against it is completely out there somewhere. You know, I'm not out there at all. People say, oh, Clyde Lewis, he's out there. I'm not out there. Not when I have a track record that shows that what I'm talking about happens like days before it does, or weeks before it does. Okay? I'm not out there. And so when we take a look at how I'm not a prophet or a psychic, can give you the news before it's news, it means the press isn't free. It means the press is being controlled, and it means that free information is coming from independent sources like the Ground Zero Lounge. So give yourselves a round of applause for being here right now. This type of news comes in countries that are highly controlled. You have to meet in little bars to talk before you get the news. And what happens is a lot of people have to rely on leaks, and they have to rely on rumor, and then we have to sit through the rumor and the leaks to try and figure out what is truth. And sometimes we're wrong, a lot of times we're right, many times we're close to the issue, many times we get the issue right on the button. But the thing is that we have to take a chance because truth is a casualty of war. Current events have so many interpretations, and it's wise to understand that the events that unfold now and the events we downplay in the past are what will determine determine future trends, unless, of course, by some miracle, we see a deus ex machina appear from out of nowhere, forcing us to change yet again and push us into a place we didn't expect to be, such as maybe an asteroid hitting the planet, or Superman coming down and saving us, or aliens coming. That's what we have to look for in a deus ex machina. Otherwise, you better hang on tight, because you're going to have to really endure a lot of shit with Obamageddon on the horizon. So keep that in mind. Barack Obama seems to be waiting for an event to take place where he will regain his popularity and take position as the father of the New World Order. What is waiting in the wings is Obama's moment where he can become a world leader and guardian angel. In the mess of a crisis, he will be made to look like a god, planning wars and executing them, executing the next world war to reduce the population and stabilize the economy. This will be the flashpoint of Obamageddon. Go ahead, James Evan Pilato, give him a hand for being here tonight.
Thank you. You just brought this up. I worry that we're seeing a mirror right now of the same thing in the summer of 2001, where we had this new president who came in, and then everything started to kind of flounder, and the approval rating started to sink, and we're seeing this kind of repeat where I worry about the fall, the catalyzing, catastrophic event happens, and it's...
So you're saying in the recent future, I'm going to get into something that happened farther in the past, so it'll even convince you more that we're heading in that direction. So give him a hand for that, because he's right. We are seeing a repeat performance. Not only are we seeing a repeat performance of Bush, but we're seeing a repeat performance of Ronald Reagan as well. If you remember, if you look through history, Ronald Reagan had the same problems, and he had to pull himself out. His pullout was, of course, his assassination attempt. Go ahead.
And I would agree. We can sit here and talk all we want, but a flashpoint is coming.
Oh, yeah.
And at that point, that's when we'll really know our character. We'll really know whether we want to stand up for truth or go along with the flow.
That's right.
It's going to happen.
It could be the swine flu. It could be a bomb with the swine flu. It could be something else. But, you know, I'll tell you right now, what we're leading to, Bob, and what everybody needs to be aware of is something called social war. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Bob.
Class war.
Yeah. Class war, social war, whatever you want to call it. We're already doing it now with Republican versus Democrat. And we're already doing it now with assholes that come in, sit down, and heckle me, and then get up and walk out and say, we're leaving, we're not patronizing this far. Yeah, fuck you, who cares? It's a socialist war. It's a war of minds, asshole, and if you don't have much to move your brain with, get the fuck out of this bar. There's a thinking man's bar. You can listen to karaoke later and have fun. That's okay. We're having fun, too, but we're getting informed. And they don't know how foolish they look. But see, that's the thing. We're in a social cold war now with partisan divided and racial tensions that are going on. Social war becomes evident when you begin to see family members turn on family members, churches war with churches, political parties war with each other. Soon we can see military fighting against each other for control of government. It happens in other countries that have devalued themselves for war. Rogue elements begin to infiltrate and become organized warlords. It happens all the time in history. It's happening now. You always take for granted that you will never be in the crosshairs of a rogue element within a government. You never suspect that the cattle trucks lying in wait are for human carrion, and the camps that have been built are only for criminals. Americans have never faced the refugee experience on a grand scale. We have seen resettlement with the Katrina disaster and other disasters elsewhere. However, can you even picture a devalued America where companies have in-house rebellions, total strikes, transportation halts, mass terrorist attacks from Americans that are worried about their future? Can you imagine food riots, gas wars, and mass arrests because of new laws that obfuscate the American people? I can see it. I lived it in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and they were a democracy when they had their dirty war. Go ahead.
The other thing that happens a lot of times, too, and it's been happening now for probably, I'd say, a good last 9 or 10 years or so, especially, is the people that say, well, if you haven't done anything wrong, then you have nothing to worry about. And how do you define doing nothing wrong?
Well, I can say this. I mean, I don't necessarily believe in a rapture, but 70 million people do. So if they believe that they're going to beam up to Jesus sometime in the next 3 years, I'm pretty spooked by that. Okay? And I don't know about you, but that scares me. And even though I don't believe it, it's going to affect me when people start offing themselves to go to Jesus Christ in the future, if it happens at all. We have... another thing about social war. Social war is also when known allies turn on you. When you start saying, well, aren't we friends with them? Not anymore. Something happened. It's like this whole thing with Israel. Are we friends with Israel? I don't know. Are we? Last time I checked, we were, but a lot of people say we're not, and the Israelis really don't like Barack Obama all that much. So somewhere along the line, we're losing it, right? Is Russia still our friends? I don't know. It seems like they don't seem very happy with us all of a sudden. Is England still our friends? I don't know. There are a lot of Muslims in England. I don't know if the Muslims in England really like us all that much anymore. You see, this is where you start getting into this social cold war, where you're wondering who your friends are, who your allies are. And it gets not just people in other countries, but it's weird even in a bar. It's weird even when you're going to the store. You see, when you were in Buenos Aires during the dirty war, the social war there, people wouldn't even divulge any information to their butcher or to a waitress because one of them could have been paid informants for the government. And they watched what they said on the phone, too. And see, the interesting thing about this is that everyone in this country thinks that war is just one big version of football. But everybody has the right jerseys on, the black jerseys on, and they're fighting it out. Well, pretty soon, nobody's going to be wearing any fucking jerseys, and nobody's going to be able to know who the bad guys are, okay? And that's when you have to really start and wonder, stand by your ethics and your morals. Because you won't know who the bad guys are, and you don't know who's going to basically shoot you. And there'll be soldiers be walking down the street and say, "Hey, help me, I need help." And I'll go, "Oh, you, did you get your vaccination?" "No." "And how about you over here, did you get your vaccination?" "Yeah, I did. Let me see your papers." I don't. Yeah, you don't think it's going to end up that way, but I'll tell you what, man. We had guys, when I was there in Buenos Aires, that were taken to camps because they didn't have their papers. And they were a democracy. They weren't a dictatorship, okay? The military took over and said, "We're running the show now. Our president and government are corrupt. We're throwing out the Constitution because it doesn't apply anymore. We're the law, and you do as we say. You paid us to do this. You paid us to protect you, to protect your Constitution. We're going to do it. We're also going to take over some islands down there called the Falklands and reclaim them and call them the Malvinas. Oh, and it doesn't matter that England's going to declare war on us. We can take them on, but they kick their asses within 2 or 3 weeks." That's how stupid war can be. Today, Americans would be outraged if the UN troops entered Los Angeles to restore order. Tomorrow, they'll be grateful. This is especially true if they were told that there was an outside threat from beyond, whether real or promulgated, that threatened our very existence. It is then that all peoples of the world will pledge with world leaders to deliver them from this evil. The one thing every man fears is the unknown. When presented with a scenario, individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by their world government. Henry Kissinger said this at the Bilderberg meeting in France. You don't want the UN to kick in your door, but pretty soon you're going to be begging for it because you don't know what's waiting out there. People argue the military drills and increased police presence is for our safety, and we've been told that these men are our heroes and we should give them honor. Clearly, safety and honor have left the state. The government seems to be emboldened by their recent failures in both Iraq and Afghanistan. The two wars that we've been involved with have left us in a quagmire, and we fortify our troops in Afghanistan. That'll basically irritate Iran, and this will send a message to Russia. And then, of course, you know, we're going to fortify this until Obama brings us into a world war. And everybody's saying, "Oh, Clyde, he's not going to do that. He's not a warlike president." Well, okay. He's not. But everywhere we look, we're seeing the company word going out. And people will criticize whatever political powers, and if it's not their political power, they'll say, "Oh, these guys are horrible." And of course, me talking badly about Obama makes me a Republican, doesn't it? Even though I basically gave Bush a nice swift kick in the balls every time I had the chance to as well. No, it's not about Republican or Democrat. It's not about blue state. It's not about red state. It's about the state versus you, and it's always been that way. And the state is going to be versus you in a matter of years, if not months. Because every party has an affiliation with a secret societal hidden agenda. The puppeteers and the puppet masters are the same no matter who's in power. And it's always been that way. Barack Obama has been briefed and convinced that continued war on his words, in his words, the right war, he says we're going to fight the right war, if you remember that, He says it'll bring the United States better and more sound economy. He already has indicated through actions similar to those of FDR against the Japanese that he is more than capable of pushing a potential enemy into attacking us. Obama has taken the draconian measures of economic sanctions against Iran and has fortified measures and troops in Afghanistan. Now, you don't have to be a war planner to understand this game of chess. History has given us the example of FDR's moves before the attacks on Pearl Harbor. And this is what I was getting at. I was talking about talking with James about moves. Ask a typical American how the United States got into World War II, and he'll almost certainly tell you, well, the Japanese attacked us, so we were minding our own business. Those sons of bitches deserved the bombs they got. Because they attacked us and we didn't do anything to them. No, we did. FDR hated the Japanese and he was very much into Chinese trade. History will tell you this. Now, he also was involved with trying to do embargoes against the Japanese from pig iron, steel, to oil. The Japanese had no choice but to fight back. And what you're taught in the public school system is that these Japanese were mean and they did this to us on purpose. You're not taught about the concentration camps where FDR put Japanese in internment camps. Okay? Listen to these words I'm saying. Internment camps. Sanctions. All these things are happening now. We have internment camps ready to be used on American citizens. REX-84 program. You can look all this up. We've talked about it here at the Ground Zero Lounge. All these camps are available. We've got economic sanctions against Iran, just like the economic sanctions against Japan. Okay? You see the parallels. The United States terminated the 1911 commercial treaty, and in 1940, Roosevelt signed the Export Control Act, authorizing the president to license or prohibit the export of essential defense materials. Japan was going broke because of what we did to them, and they had no choice but to fight back. That's why they had men, kamikaze, wanted to go in and kill. Japan was in such a horrible condition economically that they had no choice but to get out of their stranglehold and help their economy. And so when Iran does something to us, I'm sure that we're all going to go, ooh, those bad Iranians. You know, our economic depression is still with us, and even though we hear that there are a few spikes and booms here and there, it's still a major problem. We have been, we've been hearing the words of the president. The words have been that no change is in store for the war that was handed to him by George W. Bush. We're now caught in the notion that we may see another 10 years of full-on war. We may see within the next year a full-on world war. This time, however, the tables will be turned. And we might be the country that's going to get hit with a nuclear bomb. These things are very real. They've been talking about the nuclear conflagration much in movies and in television programs, and it seems more of a reality. Remember, George W. Bush had 9/11 to fall back on. When the war effort became a worn-out notion, he and Dick Cheney could rally the people by referring to Jesus, God, and 9/11. Obama has nothing that he can fall on anymore. To continue his support for the wars that he wants to have happen, Obama needs an event too. He needs his quest, he needs his direction, and he needs that rallying center for the battle cry. Don't think that he's not waiting for it, and don't think it's not going to happen, because it will. It has to. His ratings are really, really bad right now. People will always follow because they follow the guy that they believe in. And even though Obama may waffle and lie, they'll still follow him. They'll still believe everything he says. Every horrible deed that will be carried out by a corrupt state will be followed by people who don't know any better. We have now learned that both wars declared by Bush were initiated under false pretenses. And you can argue that they were both declared because of the attacks of 9/11, but now we do not know who really was responsible. In fact, there is more evidence to suggest that it was a planned attack that was financed by several countries and carried out by criminal operatives paid for by shadow governments to create a military offensive in the United States, as outlined in the Project for the New American Century. Go ahead.
You know, I almost hate to admit this. I hate cable news and all that stuff, but anymore, the first thing I do every morning is turn it on CNN to see if the flashpoint has arrived.
Yeah, I do that too.
And then I turn it off and say, thank God we got another day.
We got another day without a flashpoint. That's right, Bob. I do the same thing. Give him a hand for that. History will show that FDR's New Deal didn't get us out of the Great Depression. It could be argued that World War II helped to get us out of the rut. During wars, especially world wars, Americans have had to endure sacrifice until the first months or years of the emergency are over. You've heard of rationing, meatless Tuesdays. Living standards will plunge, and your government will tell you that it's time to ration for freedom. Today, we're already seeing industries being taken over by government. In World War II, we saw the same things. And another world war will provide plenty of cover for elites to take over industry and demonize opposition as terrorists. It's a good cover. War is always a good cover and a good excuse. Now, the question I have for everybody. How is it that during the Bush years, we were obsessed with getting out of these wars that we were fighting? Why is it we were obsessed with going against Bush about these wars, and now we've accepted them? How is it that this is different now? How is it that we are ardent supporters of a bigger war in Afghanistan when history has shown time and again that Afghanistan is virtually unconquerable? It doesn't make any sense that we have given Barack Obama more room to move his pieces where he wants in order to ensure another world war. A world war that many people believe will be the war known as Armageddon. Now, how are we not protesting this? Why is it that if we question these moves, we're being labeled as conspiracy theorists, racists, or extremists? I want someone who is listening to this show to write me at groundzeropdx@yahoo.com, and I want you to answer this question for me. Why is it that we were attacking Bush for these wars and we're supporting Obama for the same wars? What's different now? There is no difference, and I don't see what's going on. In fact, I can tell you, it's mass mind control. The idea of moving towards the state beefed up war is extremist and confusing, more extremist than saying it's not supposed to happen. It points out that people aren't paying attention to history, or they merely don't give a shit because they believe that we're too big and too powerful to fail in our resolve. But what is the resolve? The American hegemony? The New World Order? National Socialism? Communism? What are we at war for? What is the purpose? It's not about oil anymore, is it? It's not about the economy anymore, is it? Come on, people. Is it all what it is? We were told it's about oil, it's about the economy. All right, it's not about that now. Why are we there? And why aren't we taking Obama to the task on this? I don't get it. Go ahead.
I love that poster, but the problem is that he can be all four.
You think so?
Two different people.
Multi-personality disorder.
No, that's the mind control.
Sure. Yeah, that's true. Can we see that Obamageddon is looming on the horizon? I mean, most of the time you can see shadows before they happen. I mean, nobody wants to, you know, everybody thought it was change we can believe in, but now it's change we can deceive in. And that's exactly what it is. It is weird to see how the tables have turned and that the wars we hated are now the wars we are embracing. We've gone from warmongers to humanitarian in about a year's time. And no one can give me an answer as to why. And whenever I try to rock a boat, people tell me, oh, Clyde, you're out there. You are so out there. Fuck you. Evidence of mass mind control, as I've said, is evidence of pathocracy. Evil has been adjusted to fit the needs of the powerful. I can shout this from the rooftops, but I can't change anyone's opinion. The only way opinion is swayed in this country is when someone with enough power can demonstrate that they are losing. The disaster is imminent. I contend the disaster is sure. It will come to us like a thief in the night. We will be forced to act or die. You will either be with them or part of their extremist dragnet. We all know how we personally feel about health reform. But the majority of Americans stop short of caring when it comes to killing suspicious brown people. We stop short of understanding that the guns will eventually be pointed at us. We can't fathom the idea that corruption has no conscience and that trained paramilitary thugs have no conscience when their trigger fingers have an itch to hunt those who cause dissent. The elite had no care when they ritualized attacks on New York in 2001. They swiftly made their starting point for deceit and profit from over-budgeted war machine that literally is kicking the corpses of those who died for loose change. Just like the Nazis did when they were picking gold teeth out of Jews' mouths. That's what we're doing with the people who died in 9/11. We're doing the same thing. Is there anyone out there who opposes our foreign policies anymore? Can anyone see how they're a pretext for disaster? Can anyone see the war shadow on the horizon and what it will mean? Obama is using tactics from the 1930s to try and provoke a war that will be ruinous for the country. History indicates that these tactics will not work. We're not fighting Germans and we're not fighting Japanese. We are fighting against those criminal elements that have the power to socially engineer an ignorant populace into compliance with the most deplorable of activities. That's what's going on now. If you can't see it, then wake up. Obama is still banking on the idea that we will have a danger of Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, mimicking the lies of George W. Bush. When people point out that it is a confusing stance, they are ridiculed and labeled. Somewhere in the caves and mountains of Afghanistan, we are told that they are still plotting to attack America. We are still waiting for any indication that Osama bin Laden is either dead or alive. They have not given us anything to believe that this threat is real anyway. Is there someone besides me that sees the inconsistency here? Do you guys see the inconsistency here at all? Anyone? Does anyone see the war we face as being manufactured by applause? Anyone? It's a well-plotted murderous escapade is what we're witnessing. Can anyone see that the charge from Homeland Security that extremism will not be tolerated is merely an excuse to justify martial law if we do not comply with their wishes? Does anybody see this by applause? How is this healthy for America? How can we trust our government when they don't trust us? How can we say that we are functioning as a united country when the ideas of extremism are being thrown around at people who question whose side they're really rooting for? You see how this is ruining us? This is supposed to be a country that encourages free thinking, that is supposed to listen to meaningful protest and do the will of the people. It most certainly is not at this time in history, and it is not just with Obama. People want to blame one person. It's not just with Barack Obama. It is with every previous administration that rejected the rule of law for the rule of the war machine. Thank you. We are watching the empire disintegrate. We are exciting ourselves over deterrent drivel and ignoring the original concern that the economy is going bankrupt, supporting two wars that were forged by men who had no exit strategy, men who were criminals. There was no plan and no way out, and now the solution is to encourage the growth of the military-industrial complex using economic sanctions against Iran and increasing our military efforts in Afghanistan. So I said before, Joe Salente, the highly reputable founder of Trends Research Institute, coined the phrase Obamageddon. He said that this process will take about 3 years and there will be rivalries and problems and riots and companies will be going bankrupt. Basically, what he's saying is the game is up. Our empire is losing international relevance. The emperor has no clothes. We're going broke, and yet we still refuse to accept the obvious reality because of an irrelevant mainstream press. And they continue to push hope and prosperity. The powerful have hope and prosperity, but those who have no power, living under the gun, don't have hope and prosperity. We see footage on the news and online that shows bullying and police brutality, dystopia instead of functioning government, and this is not what we voted for. We voted for change. We're seeing more of the same. Go ahead.
Arlen Specter described a group of people as being not representative of America. When, you know, he had the town hall meetings and right. People were screaming into the microphones.
Right.
I don't know. What is representative of America?
Obeying and following orders.
Well, then you got to describe what these people look like. Height, weight, sex, gender, everything.
Well, yeah. But see, that's what the The powerful want Americans to be the zombies. Obama wants the followers. The government wants the zombies. And anyone else is a conspiracy theorist, crank, or a person who wants to cause trouble and extremists. And basically, it's in the crosshairs of Homeland Security. Basically, all of us sitting here in the bar right now. You know, it's going to be funny just what happens when they start cracking down on shit like this. Go ahead.
They should have done at these town hall meetings what you do here with microphones and PA systems and a sound man.
Well, maybe they can take a lesson from us.
Yes. Because these people could have talked.
Yes. Give them a hand for that.
If you're a complete total moron, then don't say anything. Have a friend who can speak for you. Say what you want to speak in a microphone with amplification instead of screaming at the top of your lungs and calling Obama Hitler at these town hall meetings.
Right. Back when Iran had their election, I was chided for not addressing the issue of whether or not there was a fair election, and I received emails from people offering me suggestions that I missed the boat on the great topic and telling me that perhaps I have lost my touch. Well, I simply wrote back and said, well, what does this have to do with anything? Well, to be honest, I found out why. It's because basically this guy, Ahmadinejad, is the evildoer that Obama wants to point the finger at. And what's really interesting is the choices that they had were basically a guy by the name of Mousavi, the prime minister of Iran back in the day when he killed all those guys at the embassy. Okay? And they wanted him instead of Ahmadinejad. I find that interesting that we're taking our pick here because they're both evil men. And you know, and I didn't care because it's just the choice of evil is what it is, right? The choice of evil. And then the enemy is named in a highly controlled media, and we're supposed to hate this guy, even though the other guy he was running with, we were supposed to hate too. Because they were both evil men. But hey, we wanted one evil instead of another evil. That's how we choose. That's how we choose things anymore. I'm supposed to say, here's something to a corrupt government that basically is put in their own people. This is something new. This is something I'm supposed to address. No, it's just something that's happening. I mean, no one seems to care that the progressive movement is now allowing for war. No one seems to care that this is going to continue. No one seems to care that we have a room full of people right now, and they're listening, and they're going to do something about this, and then what? We don't want you to forget. We want you to keep it going. We want you to keep the spirit going. We want you to listen to ZeroPointRadio.com. Listen to James Evan Pilato. Listen to me. Listen to Veritas. A year ago, Air America and MoveOn.org rallied an anti-Bush audience against policies of war. Now they have to support the war policies of Obama. This is amazing, if not more than pathological. The Bush administration warmed us up for an invasion mentality, and now Obama gives it a bit more of a Hollywood glimmer. We have gone from being evil aggressors to humanitarians in one election. Air America and MoveOn.org are now irrelevant. Conservative talk show hosts are now irrelevant. Why are they irrelevant? Because all they care about is move on, is this Obama poster and whether or not Obama is being treated horribly and who's responsible. Fuck conservative radio by applause. You don't have to worry, conservative radio. Your policies of war are going to stay intact. Nobody's going to complain about that. You can complain about these little petty issues. Why don't you talk about how war is continuing? Look at this. Suburban Life in Kyle, Texas. Freedom of hate speech. They're saying that this poster was hate speech. Okay? Go ahead, Bob, quickly. I got to wrap up. They're wrapping. They're pushing me off. Go ahead.
Gotcha. I'm just pointing. I think I pointed this out a couple weeks ago. The reason the war is not a big issue anymore is because the media doesn't pay any attention to it anymore.
Right. And you know,
it's obvious. They promote what they want. Now, why aren't people concerned about the war? Because they simply don't. Even the left-wing news doesn't talk about it anymore.
That's right, they don't.
You know?
And it's because they don't know how to take Obama siding with the both sides. In the time prior to World War II, there was hatred of the Jews here in America and abroad. Black men were still being lynched. The media was controlled by corporate interests. There were secret groups within government plotting against FDR, and the economy was at a low point. The pattern seemed to be very telling of what is happening yet again. If history is any indicator of the future, then I must concur with Gerald Celente. We are in the same boat as our forebears. If we are not following into the dismal war-torn world of FDR's post-depression, then we are following into the footsteps of the Weimar Republic. The Weimar Republic put all of their faith in a charismatic leader as well. He led them into a virtual Armageddon during World War II. Our charismatic leader can lead us into an Obamageddon with the next world war. A war the futurists are telling us will be our last war. I would like to thank Janine Duffy for helping us with images tonight. I'd like to thank James Evan Pilato for being here tonight as well. Thank you, Sarah, for helping. And Jared, thank you so much. And I'd like to thank Dante's for having us here tonight. Be sure and buy a piece of pizza, drink a bunch of beer, and tip your waitresses and let them know that you appreciate them. This show is available for $10 if you'd like to buy a copy. I'm Clyde Lewis. This is the Ground Zero Lounge. We'll see you on ZeroPointRadio.com. Good night.